One of the things that we're going to talk about this month, and not every lesson will be about it, but we're dealing with a theme about it, is about friends. And I can probably tell a lot about you and your character and things that I may not know a lot about, even if I haven't met you long, by just talking to and knowing who your friends are. And that sometimes offends people, especially in America. We're supposed to be all independent. You know, I'm my own person. And perhaps that's true. But outside of your family, your friends have a very strong influence on your choices, on the things that you do, the things that you believe. And you can't choose your family. But the people you choose as your friends, as your companions, can tell other people a lot about who you are. Now, friendship is valuable. And there's examples of really strong friendships in the Bible. Take a look at, for instance, in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And in verse 1. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Jonathan and David were extremely close friends. And look at the words that are being used. You know, knitting is where you take two pieces of yarn and you intertwine them. David and Jonathan felt like their souls were being intertwined. They loved each other as friends, best of friends. Another strong friendship is seen in Ruth. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, between Ruth and Naomi. Here Ruth says to Naomi in Ruth chapter 1 verse 16, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and then there I will be married. Thus by the Lord may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me.'" Here's a woman devoted to another woman who's her mother-in-law. Obviously, they love each other. And she's willing to go any length to be with her. That's friendship. But as strong as those friends are, there's a stronger friend that we can have. Imagine having God as your best friend. Take a look at Abraham. Just a mention of Abraham in 2 Chronicles. No, not the normal place we go to talk about Abraham, but 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And look at verse 7. "Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever?" Abraham was a friend of God. A friendship that lasts beyond this life and went into eternity. Moses, too, had a relationship with God in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33 and in verse 11. "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." Moses was able to talk to God like a friend talks to his friend. Openly, honestly, not hiding anything. Imagine having that type of friendship with God himself. See, a true friend is, a true friendship is something that's permanent. In Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17 and in verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Friendship lasts. It's not something shallow. It's not something that comes and then goes. Friendship is something that is permanent. And true friendship lasts through difficulties. In Proverbs 18, look at verse 24. And this one, the first half of it gets translated two different ways. Mine says, a man has of too many friends comes to ruin. That's probably the more correct translation. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are rich, who are famous. They have lots of friends. But those friends are not really friendly. They're there because they can get something out of the rich and famous person. Rupees or whatever you want. Those are not real friends. Kind of like Facebook friends. You know, some of the people on Facebook, they are my friends. But there's a lot of friends that are on there that are just kind of just there. You can end up with too many friends. They just drain you and leave you with nothing. But there is a friend, even through the worst of difficulties, will stick with you. Stick with you even closer than your own family. That's the type of friendship that we'd like to have. By the way, that's the type of friendship God offers us. Take a look at Joshua chapter 1. When Joshua suddenly faced the difficulty of replacing Moses, having to lead the Israelites, I'm sure that was a daunting task. In Joshua chapter 1, God tells him, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. And that's true not just with Joshua. God's promised that to us as well. We obey God, and God will stay with us. He won't abandon us. In Isaiah, a very poetic way of seeing this, Isaiah 54 and in verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. God is basically saying, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be with you. My friendship, my love for you remains. The mountains go before my love ends. It's permanent. It's lasting. Now, when you have friends, the relationship is mutually beneficial. It's not just a one-way thing. Friends improve each other. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Your friends are somebody you play ideas off of. They help improve you. They ought to, at least. They sharpen you. Keep you honest. And they help each other out. Take a look at Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting with verse 9, says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. You haven't figured that out, you go do a job someplace, especially a nice physical one. It's so much nicer and so much easier when you have somebody else helping you. For if either of them fails or falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls where there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. How can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him, and a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Friends help and benefit each other. And our greatest friend, Christ our Lord, has greatly benefited us. Take a look at John chapter 15. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for us. He considers us his friends. And his death benefited each one of us by allowing us to be forgiven of our sins. And every once in a while I get asked by, well, how do you have friends? How do you make friends? Usually it's a young person. But how do you have friends? I mentioned Proverbs 18:24. The other way the first half can be translated is, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. While it may not be the most accurate of the translations of the Hebrew, it's still a true statement. If you want to have friends, you got to be friendly to other people. You don't get friends sitting in your house playing video games. It doesn't work that way. You have to interact with other people in a way that they want to interact with you. Another thing that you got to keep in mind, if we understand that friendship is permanent, then when we have somebody we consider a friend, we don't leave that person behind. Take a look at Proverbs 10 or 27, verse 10. Proverbs 27, verse 10. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, or do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother far away. You might have really close family ties, but if your family is elsewhere, it's the friends that you depend on. Don't abandon your friends. If I want to pick one of the reasons why so many people in the last few weeks have been really upset with the government is because they see it as an abandonment. People were left behind. It's like a betrayal. Think about it on a personal relationship. If somebody else abandoned you right when you really felt that you needed someone to be there. If you want to have friends, then you need to be somebody that somebody can depend on. Friendships grow when you lean on your friends for help. But you also have to be very careful of who you claim as friends. Because, again, what we talked about at the beginning, who you pick is going to basically determine who you are. Because your friends are going to influence you. In Proverbs chapter, or sorry, Proverbs. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So many verses are in Proverbs. 1 Corinthians 15. And in verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. It doesn't matter what you claim. It doesn't matter what you think. You hang around the wrong people, it's going to influence how you behave. It's real simple that way. There's some examples of this. Like, for instance, in Proverbs 28, verse 7. If you have gluttonous friends, and gluttony is basically the idea of somebody who has no self-control. Doesn't, now, we usually think of gluttony with no self-control in eating. But it's a bigger word than that. It means somebody who has no self-control in other aspects of life as well. But in Proverbs 28 and in verse 7, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. You hang around people that have no self-control, and guess what happens to you? You might be the only one saying, no, we're just not going to do that. But they're going to constantly pressure you to try other things, do other things. And before you know it, you're not restraining yourself like you ought to. And that ends up bringing shame, not only to yourself, but also to your family, embarrassing them. Or another aspect is in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn of his ways and find a snare for yourself. You hang around somebody who can't control their temper. Just flies off the handle all the time. It's going to rub off on you. You're going to find yourself snapping at other people as well. Oh, maybe not at once, maybe not as extreme, but you're going to go that direction. Who you have as friends, I have to look at how they behave. And I would say, do I want to become more like them? Or do I want somebody else who will make me improve and make me somebody that I'm proud to be? See, evil always has to be resisted. In Proverbs chapter 1, the book of Proverbs written to young men, and it starts out, after the introduction, the very first example it starts out with in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And the word entice there is basically a Hebrew word that's for opening the door and inviting you in. If sinners open the door and say, come on in, don't walk that way. They're sinners. There's a reason why they want you in their home. In verse 15 of that same chapter, my son, do not walk in the way of them. Keep your feet from their path. Don't go the way they're going. They're going the wrong way. We've got to make a distinction. And we've got to watch for the subtle traps. In Psalms 141, verse 4, it says, do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men who do iniquity, and do not let me eat their delicacies. Those are the little sweet things, the little niceties, the little tasty bites. See, if I get involved with the wicked, I get all the little tasty, nice things. You know what? I just keep eating a little bit more and a little bit more. There's an old story that's called called The Chronicles of Narnia, and one of the books is called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. There's a boy who loves Turkish delights. He desired the delicacy, and because of that, he was willing to betray his own family. That's illustrating this point. Don't go with the wicked. I don't want to be with them. I don't want to stand against them. Don't desire their delicacies, because it will lure you to stay longer than you should. sometimes though, having God as your friend makes it difficult to have friends in this world. We have to admit, the world doesn't have the same priorities. It doesn't have the same desires. It doesn't have the same goals that people who want to please God have. And we can see this in the world because people in the world leave. Worldly people are not always trustworthy. In Psalm 31 in verse 11, because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. David's trying to do what's right, and because, I think this was probably written while Saul was chasing him, because Saul is coming down on the government, he's the enemy of the government in a sense, even though David really isn't. Just Saul thinks so. What happens to all his friends? Everybody runs. Everybody abandons him. Why? Because they're caught up in this world. They're caught up in protecting themselves. And that means sacrificing a few friends. Well, that's what happens. The world doesn't follow God. The world doesn't understand God's ways. You know, when Job was being tried by Satan and lost everything, you know, that's the time you really need your friends. When everything is just going wrong. And what did Job get? Three friends had told Job, it's all your fault. Job says this in Job 19 and verse 19. All my associates abhor me, and those I love have turned against me. That's worldly friends. Jesus even experienced this. We read about Jesus saying that he is a friend. And in John 13, look at verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, and that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who are within the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus loved his disciples all the way to the end. And yet, when we read in Mark's account, Mark 14 and verse 50, after Jesus is arrested by this mob, this is one little short statement, Mark 14 verse 50, and they all left him and fled. The very time when Christ needed support, even his own disciples weren't there to give it to him. When you pick friends, pick good friends. That's why we have in our scripture reading in Psalms 119. Look again at verse 63. Psalms 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all those who fear you, and of those who keep your precepts. When someone is trying to follow God, and I'm trying to follow God, we got something in common. We're friends. I've experienced this all across the world. I've gone places, stayed at people's homes that I've stayed at people's homes I'd never met before. We had a blast. We had fun. Because we have something in common. We love God. That's the way we all should be. In Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Again, if evil friends are going to pull me down, well, if I pick wise friends, well, that's going to make me smarter. That's going to make me wiser. They're going to see things I don't see. I'm going to learn things and become wiser myself. Over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And starting at verse 6. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. By having fellowship with God, then I have fellowship with all other people who are also walking with God. There are friends waiting out there and in here with common beliefs. Looking for other people who have the same love for God. And when we have that friendship, when we have that companionship, and we can say, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, Philippians 1 and verse 3, I thank my God for all my remembrances of you. I have a lot of good memories of the group here. I'm sure I'm going to build a lot more as time goes on. I hope the same is said about me. I appreciate each one. I appreciate the love they have for God. But to get there, you have to develop a relationship with God. If there's anyone who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God, may like the prayers of your brethren on behalf. Again, we offer an opportunity. Why don't you come forward and stand and sing the song that was selected.